Welcome to A Couple Cooks, a show celebrating the joy of home cooking. I'm Sonia Overheiser.
And I'm Alex.
And we're a husband and wife who love to cook.
Join us each week for stories, seasonal recipes, and inspiration for cooking at home and eating well.
For more, you can find us on our blog, acouplecooks.com. Hello.
Welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast.
Episode 9.
The first episode of 2016, and we're glad you're here.
In honor of the new year, we are talking about minimalism.
Getting rid of all that junk.
I know I want to clean out lots of closets, maybe our spice drawer, be really organized this year.
We have a great interview with Melissa Coleman from thefauxmartha.com. She is a graphic designer and just can't help herself from being a minimalist.
We're also going to talk about cleaning out that spice drawer.
And in honor of minimalism, we have a little bit of housekeeping to do. We will be on a new schedule now. The A Couple Cooks podcast can be found Tuesday evening / Wednesday morning, and it'll be every other week.
And we've also got a recipe for a minimalist meal that you can make in 30 minutes or less.
Stay tuned. So our recipe for you this week isn't so much a recipe as much as a way of life for us. It is taking a fried egg, slapping on top of some good vegetables, some sort of whole grain, and calling it dinner.
We keep a lot of whole grains in our pantry, and this recipe uses one that's called bulgur wheat. It's not quite as widely known as rice, but it is very quick cooking, which is why we like it. You can boil some water in a teapot. That's what we do. Pour it over, and within 20 minutes, it's done. So it actually involves no cooking whatsoever.
So we call this recipe fried eggs with bulgur and spinach. And if you look at our website, we'll put a link in the show notes. You can actually watch us make the entire recipe, I think in less than half an hour, right there on video.
Basically, it involves frying up some mushrooms and spinach, making that bulgur wheat, frying some eggs, and then we top it off with some smoked paprika, which is part of our minimalist pantry for sure. It's a smoky spice that is used a lot in Spanish cooking. We use it when we make paella, which is a traditional Spanish dish that we love. And it is great for eggs, to put on really anything to give it a nice smoky characteristic.
So that's our minimalist recipe for the week. We'd love to know what yours are. We're always looking for good, easy weeknight meals. Shoot us an email, acouplecooks@gmail.com, or leave us a comment on Instagram.
And we'll put a link to this recipe in our show notes.
We won't claim to be the first people to ever talk about minimalism. It seems humans just tend to gather junk around them, and we require the smart few among us to tell us to simplify, to clean up, to find that magical art of tidying up book from Japan out of your dustbin and use it. For me, I think I was introduced to the idea by Mark Bittman, the New York Times columnist and author who has written a lot about food, but his minimalist column back in, I think, 2009 told me that on January 1st, I should go through my spice drawer and clean out all the junk.
Just throw it out, like you would tell me.
That's right. Just get rid of it. Not that you have to get rid of every single spice in that drawer, but if you're one of those folks who got a spice rack for your wedding and there's still some oregano in there from, you know, like 2005... it probably doesn't taste good anymore.
And I would say usually couples that I meet, there's one hoarder personality and one purger personality. Would you agree?
Yeah. And if you're not married yet and you're a hoarder, make sure you don't marry another hoarder.
So I think in our relationship, I am a hoarder.
Yep.
I like to save things just in case they might make a good Halloween costume someday.
And I like to donate things to Goodwill the moment they get in from Amazon Prime.
So there is a balance. I mean, if it was all Alex's way, we would just throw out everything we owned and buy new every day.
Not that that'd be a problem. But there is a time and a place for having the right things on hand.
Exactly.
So for our spice drawer, we would recommend going through the spice drawer once a year. January is a good time. If things are just super old, toss them. If you have four different things of cinnamon, try to combine them into one.
Crap, I think we have four different things of cinnamon.
Yeah, we are desperately overdue. If we're brave enough, we'll share a photo of our spice drawer. And just go through, put them in alphabetical order. You'll feel way better. You'll be cooking way faster, and life will be better.
What do you think it has to say about someone's personality when they have an alphabetized spice drawer? I only wish we could have that, but
The
it
real question
is.
is, what does it mean when you have an alphabetized spice drawer and then 3 days later it's completely in chaos?
That sounds like our spice drawer. So we'd love to hear if you're inspired to clean out the old spice drawer or any other closet or drawer in your household. Just let us know at acouplecooks.com.
And I actually found this article I was talking about from 2009, and it's wonderful. It has a bunch of different kitchen New Year's resolutions in there. You should check it out. We'll share it in the show notes.
Now, to continue in the minimalist vein, we have a fantastic guest for you today, Melissa Coleman of the website The Faux Martha.
She's the best.
She is a graphic designer and a cook. She has a fantastic website. And she is a self-proclaimed minimalist. So she shares with us her tips for minimalist cooking and a little bit about how to design a meal. Melissa Coleman, welcome to the A Couple Cooks podcast.
Thanks for having me.
We get a fair amount of questions from readers, and it seems that a prevailing thought is that cooking is something that's complicated, it's hard to do, and a philosophy that you embody is minimalism. I was wondering if you could explain a little bit about what minimalist cooking is.
Yeah, so I have been one that has overcomplicated things, and I still do. It seems like the right thing to do or the thing that people want. But I found that my best dishes, my happiest moments are minimalist moments. And what I mean by minimalist, they're simple. I've pulled away from adding too many things. Like a meal is really good with salt and olive oil. A lot of times it doesn't need much more than that. So why do much more than that?
Absolutely. What would you say some minimalist meals are that you've had with your family and friends?
I'll talk about Christmas. I prepared a dish. I guess I kind of went against everything I ever grew up learning. We had a Thanksgiving dinner and we had a Christmas dinner, and they looked very similar, and there were 10,000 sides, and it took all day to cook, plus the day before.
That sounds very similar to our family.
Which is so fun. I love it for Thanksgiving. But for Christmas, I wanted something different. So I bought really high quality steaks. I bought great broccoli and carrots from the co-op that I knew were good. And I say good, like those carrots, they taste like carrots. They're a little bit sweet. And everybody that's had these carrots is like, wow, these taste different. And I'm like, no, these taste like what carrots should taste. They should be a little bit sweet. So you source really good ingredients, and then we make, old school twice baked potatoes. But the amount of ingredients were so few. With the broccoli and the carrots, I just lightly steamed them first to get a little moisture into the vegetable, and then I roasted them at about 425 to get to crisp them and almost char them. So they were soft but charred, and it was only salt and olive oil that hit those vegetables. Same with the piece of steak. It was just salt and pepper. And we don't eat meat a whole lot, but if we do eat it, it's going to be really good, high quality things, or a really good high quality cut of meat. It's the same thing true of vegetables. Like, buy good ingredients and you don't have to do a whole lot to them. They're good just as they are.
I love that. Olive oil, kosher salt, and pepper mm-hmm. can do wonders.
Kosher salt is the key. You've got to buy kosher salt. Flaky. Can I tell you a story?
Please.
when I first started cooking, I would make stuff for my mom and then I would give her recipes. And I had first started cooking, so I didn't know all the nuances. So I told my mom about these green beans. It's just boiling green beans for about 5 minutes and then running them under cold water, hitting them with some lemon and salt and olive oil, and then topping them with a little bit of sliced almonds and Parmesan cheese. They're so good. Best green beans you'll ever eat. But I neglected to tell my mom to use kosher salt. So she used table salt, and she was like, these were the saltiest things ever. But I was learning. So know your salt. Kosher salt. Buy flaky kosher salt. A little goes a long way. It's easier to mess with.
That was one of the first things we learned when we started cooking, and it has been something that's carried us through. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So you mentioned a fancy meal. Do you have any go-to weeknight minimalist meals?
Yes, I do. So I have a little girl. She's 2 years old, and she is a part of our dinner table. We like to eat the same food as she eats. So there is a complicated piece of I've got a 2-year-old palate, and I've got a, you know, 2 30-year-old palates, and we have to figure out how to meet in the middle. But pasta is something that kind of feeds anybody, and we'll just make a different sauce. So a lot of times I'll make even a vinaigrette. Like recently we did a sun-dried tomato vinaigrette with a little bit of sun-dried tomatoes. They're in the fridge. White wine vinaigrette, it's in your pantry. Olive oil, it's in your pantry. A pinch of kosher salt. A little bit of pepper. Blend that up. Garlic if you want it. And then pour that over noodles. Top it with some like lettuce. I'd like to chiffonade some lettuce like you would basil, and it's and a little bit of cheese too, and it's so good. It's simple. There's very few ingredients, but it feeds a lot of different palates, and the 2-year-old likes it because she can't pick out chunks of things. Super simple.
Full disclosure, you actually just made this for us, and we loved it. So we will put a link to that recipe in the show notes. So you mentioned that you used to overcomplicate things, that the minimalist philosophy has been a journey for you. Can you explain a little more about how you got to where you are today?
Yeah, I'm going to start in fourth grade when I would clean out my closets because I could not stand all the stuff in there. Like, I couldn't find a pair of pants. I'm probably the only fourth grader that was doing this, but I couldn't find a pair of pants, or I couldn't find a certain thing that I was looking for. And I've always been a pretty particular person, and it would just drive me crazy, so much so that it would put me in a bad mood. And I finally realized, like, I can control this by simplifying things. So I'd go get trash bags and fill them up and just declutter it. And life just felt better with less. And so the older I got, like, I just learned to throw away things that didn't get used. And it didn't mean that I didn't bring things into the house. I brought plenty of things into the house. But I learned what I used, and then I got rid of the rest. And that holds true to the pieces that we keep in our living room, the things that are in my pantry. I keep probably... oh, this is a little embarrassing, but probably only like 24 spices in the cabinet, and that's all I cook with, and that's kind of all I let myself cook with. I only have a certain set of pans. If my mom or mother-in-law wants me to buy an extra pan, I'm like, no, thank you. I really don't need anything else. It will make me more mad than it will do good, because then I'm going to have to trip over that pan or stack that pan a couple more times. I also am a graphic designer. And I learned the art of paring down, and that was a good thing, and it helped communicate things, and I realized that really helped in my life too. And so, it's kind of like a kid in a way too. You give them sandbox to play in, and they know exactly how to play for the most part. I still have to help my 2-year-old out, but they know how to play. They have parameters, but you give them a whole field and they just look. They have no clue where to go. They need boundaries. And I think that's the same philosophy and theory holds true with cooking. Give yourself some boundaries. And it doesn't mean you have to stay in those boundaries. You can expand and you're going to change. And I'm going to trade out a spice that I don't use anymore for a new one that I've really fallen in love with. But it's kind of what people say, like when something comes new into the closet, get rid of something. And that holds true in the kitchen too. It's okay to throw away or give things away and your life will probably be a little better.
I'm inspired to pare down our spice drawer right now just from hearing that from you. Can you tell us a little bit about, if you were to go about designing a meal, how you would incorporate different elements of nutrition along with artfulness?
So one person that does this really well, I think, and I take a lot of inspiration, is from Janine of Love and Lemons. She's also a designer. And I love that she uses, you know, she'll use a lot of round things and then she'll repeat. You know, in design we learned that repetition is a good thing. And so you'll repeat elements, you'll repeat colors, or you also learn about contrast, and contrast is a really good thing. In a lot of ways, like, it does the same thing that white space does. White space calls attention to, and contrast also calls attention to, whether that's big or small or dark or light. Going back to talking about this pasta dish that we made, we had the pasta, and I like to think about the noodle, but at the end of the day, like, if I want a dish, a plate on the table fast, I will use whatever's in the pantry. But like, linguine noodles are pretty beautiful and they're long, and then I like to almost break them up with the chopped greens or lettuce, and whether that has some purples in it and greens in it, that color kind of contrasts the beige brown that's not so pretty of pasta or of a grain in general. And then, you know, whatever that, I like to give it a sauce, whether that sauce is integrated or on top. And then I'm not a huge cheese fan, but feta cheese or like certain really bright white cheeses kind of help bring that pop of contrast. And sometimes it's a nut too. Like, sometimes I'll use pepita seeds or sunflower seeds. I love even thinking about too, my favorite thing to compile is baked oatmeal. And I'll make a base layer of baked oatmeal, put it in the pan. I also use a white enamel pan.
Which we can say oatmeal is not very pretty.
No, another beige thing. All the grains are beige, and you know, we fill the base of our pyramid and the base of our plate with a lot of grains. But so I've got this like beautiful white enamel plate or dish that's coated in a navy on the edge, and then a layer of beige oatmeal. And then I like to sprinkle stuff on top, whether it's fruit or coconut, and there's some contrast. You've got the bright white unsweetened coconut shreds, and then you've got the green pepita seeds and maybe some cacao nibs, and then you've also got the repetition. So kind of sprinkle those about and then bake it, and it's beautiful. Like, that beige thing just became a beautiful thing.
Yeah, it's almost like an art project in itself.
It is. I think that's how I think about food. Everything I plate, it needs to be beautiful. When you eat food, you know, especially when I'm teaching a 2-year-old to eat, like, she wants to eat beautiful things. I want to eat beautiful things. I'm going to have a better chance getting that in her mouth if it's a beautiful thing.
And let's go back to that enamelware that we see on your blog. That's not just a prop that you keep in the closet. That's what you're eating off every day.
Yeah. We have white plates, like white ceramic plates that we use a lot of, but then we also have a set of enamel, which is so great if you do have kids, because Hallie, my 2-year-old, gets a hold of it and tosses it around and it doesn't break. So I love it. It's beautiful. It's functional, but you have to wash it by hand. Womp womp.
Small sacrifices. Yeah. You've talked a little bit about your pantry. Do you have any tips for a minimalist pantry?
I do. If I showed you my pantry right now, you might gasp. It's like, it's in bad shape. But some of the things that help keep me in order are to buy, you know, big ball jars or, you know, some kind of large container, a glass or plastic, preferably glass, but whatever floats your boat, a container that you can see through. And it's a visual organizer. So I have jars full of pepita seeds, sunflower seeds, cacao nibs, anything that's shelf stable, in a jar, and I'll have rice in there, anything that's shelf stable. It's kind of pretty too when you open it up. So that kind of helps you keep organized. It's really nice too. Shopping is not my best. Shopping and making a shopping list is not my strong suit. And so it's nice visually. I can see, oh gosh, the cacao nibs are getting low. And I don't have to dig into a box. They also fit into the pantry really nice. I also like to designate, you know, certain shelves, like the dry goods are going to go here. Maybe like some cereals and crackers are going to go here. And then limit yourself. Like, do not buy anything that says new on it. Like, you know, we have a couple grains that we buy. We buy crackers, we buy oats, we buy pasta, and we always buy the same thing. So find your ingredient and you buy the same thing of that, and then you can put it in a big jar, and when it's gone, you refill it. Or I even like to buy like 5 soy sauces at a time and then stack them straight into the pantry. I like to have a well-stocked pantry, and minimal doesn't mean like, you know, I don't have anything in there. It just means I'm trying to be smart and thoughtful in the way that I'm organizing it. And it helps me so that I don't get mad when I go to make a soba bowl and I'm making my peanut sauce and I don't have any soy sauce because I haven't stocked my pantry well. It's not going to go bad. I'm not talking about TLC hoarders. I'm just talking about keeping a well-stocked pantry.
So you just mentioned a soba bowl recipe. I know you have a lot of great recipes on your blog. Where could people find you if they want to learn more?
Yeah, they can find me at thefoamartha.com. And if you want to find me all the time, I'm at Instagram at thefoamartha handle. I'm always there pretty much posting whatever we're eating. It's pretty live.
And that's what I love about your blog and about your feed. You have so many great recipes that are really accessible and approachable, things that we would absolutely make on a weeknight, a busy weeknight.
Yeah, go make that soba bowl. That's like a gateway drug into easy cooking, maybe even with ingredients you're not used to cooking with, but they become that normal, and then you throw out that other thing you were using to keep your pantry minimal. But yeah, it's a good gateway food of choice, and 2-year-olds like it too.
I will put a link to that recipe and a few other of our favorites from the Faux Martha into our show notes, as well as the link to her Instagram. Melissa, thank you so much for being with us. This was a blast.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Well, I'm inspired. Are you inspired?
I am. Let's just goodwill the entire house.
Or maybe we should just start by cleaning out our spice drawer.
I think that would be a good first step.
So we'd love to hear from you guys. If you do have any great minimalist weeknight meals, let us know. Or if you've read that life-changing tidying up Japanese book that is supposed to be so good, let us know if it changed your world.
And that's about all we have for today. We hope you've enjoyed our show. For more recipes and inspiration, see our website, acouplecooks.com, or visit us on Instagram at acouplecooks. Just shoot us a line.
What happened? She shot a line again. Is that some sort of cocaine reference?